Welcome to today's episode of Journey to There, exploring the intersection between personal and business growth. And now your hosts, Tracy DeForge and Russ Reba.
Tracy, you have been doing a stellar job at lining up some exceptional guests for the Journey to There radio show. Your network of entrepreneurs is incredible, and I applaud you. I applaud you for that.
Thank you.
We'll even get some applaud sound effects on for you. We have a great guest today, so sit tight. We're online at journeytothere.com. We are on iTunes, so you can opt to subscribe under podcasts. And we're also heard on Empower Radio, Fridays at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. Along with Tracy DeForge, I'm Russ Reba, and standing by on our guest line is a woman who is an award-winning author, speaker, and entrepreneur. She's co-creator and host of the Healing Words TV show and a founding faculty member of the Creative Writing at the Bedside program for Mayo Clinic. She has been interviewed from coast to coast and then some. Her name is Jacqueline Fletcher. She's online at jacquelinefletcher.com. And we are honored to have her hanging out with us today at the intersection between personal and business growth. That is what Journey to There is all about. Jacqueline, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I am just thrilled to be doing this today.
Well, we are so excited to have you on the show. For our audience, I just want to say that I have met and worked collaboratively on a project with Jacqueline, and it was such a fabulous experience that when we were thinking about a topic and around the topic that we're going to discuss today, which is finding your voice, I could not think of a better guest to have with us on the show, because I know, Jackie, when we were pretty much like emailing back and forth about the topic and talking about the show in advance, I love that you had mentioned to me that you had struggled your entire career to figure out how to direct your business and your life by your heart, and that you too are a lifelong people pleaser. And I say that because I thought that I was like the president of people pleasing, but it sounds like that I have a friend in the people pleasing arena with me. So I can't tell you how much I'm excited to talk about this topic.
Yeah, you definitely have a friend in the people pleasing world. And, you know, it's really interesting because it can be, if you're running your own business, being a people pleaser can be a really great skill to call upon if you have clients that you have to please. But if you are really wanting to find your voice, which in my opinion is really finding out who you are and what your purpose is here on the planet, that makes it really challenging to be a people pleaser.
Yes, it does.
I want to throw in, as an honest and ethical business person, I really find it's very pleasing to work with people pleasers, but the people pleasers I know have their challenges, as you say you've had.
Yes. And so it kind of depends, you know, I think for me it's been finding the balance between knowing how to work with other people in a way that respects my own boundaries as a person instead of just constantly being a yes person. So one of the things, you know, here's an example from early in my career. I was working on a book project, and I took every piece of feedback for this book project and just worked myself into a hole trying to answer everybody's criticism, everybody's feedback, and tried to make this book into what everybody else wanted without listening to what I thought and my own instincts and my own opinions about the project. And it just completely fell apart, and that book was never published. And the second experience that kind of followed up after that was that I was working on another book project and felt very strongly that it was coming from a place that I really knew a lot about. And when I had a very large publisher purchase the book and got into a situation where my original acquiring editor left the company, and so I got a new editor who came in and said, "This is terrible. This is not a good book. This is horrible. You have to start over." And I, you know, went home that night because my agent had called me to tell me the news. And I went home, cried that evening, and said, "Okay, you can cry tonight. Tomorrow, you're going to get up and think about what you're going to do about this." And so in the morning, I thought, I know more about this topic than this editor. And I trust my instincts around this. And I am going to stand up to Goliath and say, no, I'm not going to do this. And if I have to, I will buy back my own book from this giant publisher. And it was the scariest moment of my career to that point. And that's exactly what I did. And, you know, my agent ended up finding another editor within the company who really saw the vision of what I was doing, tweaked maybe three things, and it went on to win several awards.
Wow. That's a great story.
Ahead. Well, I was just going to say, there's so much wrapped up in that that I'm just, I mean, there, I have so many questions and I'm so inspired in a couple of different ways. So one is that, well, first I need to say for our audience, Russ is always teasing me saying that I'm trying to give him therapy, but today I'm like on the couch because I want the advice and therapy from Jackie, and only because like you are telling my story in so many different ways, but there are a couple of things that I extract out of that that I'd love for you to talk about a little bit more. And one is, so that first time happened to you and it went against your grain, and then the project ended up imploding and you knew it wasn't right. And so it, you know, as a result, you know, you knew it and it wasn't right and it didn't happen. I love how you were saying that when you went to the next publisher, that you made your conscious decision and you went all the way out there with your vision that this is the worst case scenario. The worst case scenario is I buy back my book, which is in, I hear so much power in that and so much in this outcome doesn't matter because at the end of the day, I'm willing to walk down this path with my courage and my voice, and I am not settling. I will buy back. I am willing to buy back my book. Do you feel like sometimes that when you're willing to like go to that length and you've settled that into your mind, that then you can go into it with a forcible energy? For me, sometimes I just think that lets the thought out there that I'm willing to go to this length. So back me up, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, I do. And I think that I didn't realize what I was doing at the time, but, you know, at the time, what I was learning was that great challenges like this are really what builds self-esteem. And so the fact that I did that with this second publisher proved to me that I could trust my own voice, my own instincts. And without that challenge, I wouldn't have been forced to, like, go to that length.
Right.
And so the next project after that, I was like, okay, from now on, I am totally committed to this. And it reminded me of, because, I think there is that moment where you're like, I am willing to do whatever it takes to be true to my, you know, my instincts. But there's that second piece of that, which for me was really critical. And it reminded me of when I was dating before I met my husband.
Right.
And so there were, before I met him, I was literally just like, you know, with a little bowl in my hands looking for porridge, like, do you like me? And it was like this, you know, that's the people pleaser, like, do you like me? And it was constantly looking for approval and attention and that validation from the guys that I was dating. And it was the same thing with my career. So I was coming from that place energetically. And when I did the second time with the publisher, I came from a very different place in my body where I said, this is who I am. Take it or leave it. And so I got to a place where I could walk away and find another publisher. I could publish it myself. There were so many other options for what I could do with that book. But it was a much calmer place that I came from. And it was more of an offering instead of a seeking validation.
You know, this is going back to the people pleasing thing. This is another one of those incredible examples of the intersection of your personal and your business growth, because that experience made you a better person. It made you a better business person, but it's also a makeup of your personality, and it makes you the person who you are, which, you know, I like what I hear as far as the person that you are.
Thank you.
Yes, and she owns it too, by the way. Well, I wanted to reflect on, and Russ took the words out of my mouth, because on our show on Journey to There, we really do explore that intersection between personal and business growth. And one of the things that we talk about a lot on our show is that awareness can bring on change, but action is the only key to sustainable change. And so when I was hearing you tell your story, I wanted to dig into that piece of it, because in my life, and I try only to speak on my own experiences when I'm putting these thoughts and ideas out there. But for me, I have had the awareness, like I've had a situation where I was influenced by a decision in my life where I had this very strong gut instinct. And then I sought advice from, you know, friends, experts, you know, people that I trusted, and their advice or suggestions did not resonate as truth for me. But then, of course, I second guessed myself, made an alternate decision. And it was a pivotal life changing experience for me in a handful of those times. And I kept thinking, like, I thought I learned this lesson, and then the lesson gets a little bigger, and then I thought I learned that lesson, and then it gets a little bit more painful, and it's like, okay, well, why haven't I learned this lesson? And I was just curious if you are like a one-and-done kind of person, or if you have had other experiences that have given you this fortitude, if you will, of how you own your own self on the inside and the power of your truth and your voice.
I think that's a great question. I mean, for the artist, there's always another blank page. There's always another blank canvas. Like, you always have to start over. And I can't, you know, I don't remember who said this, that brilliant line about personal development, but it's like a spiral staircase that you really, you do return to these experiences again and again. And I was just at a women's leadership retreat in the Boundary Waters in Minnesota, which is this vast wilderness. It was a canoe trip, and it's all these waters, and you carry your canoes between lakes and hike. And so I was being led by two wilderness experts who I trusted to know the wilderness. And so we were paddling along, and they had kind of showed us the map a little bit earlier, and we passed this little, you know, this little bay, and I thought, gosh, I'm pretty sure that's where we're supposed to go to get to our next portage, which is where you take the boats out and walk so you can avoid things like rapids. And mm-hmm. I totally had that instinct, and I did not speak up. And so 15 minutes down the river, or lake, or whatever we were in, whatever body of water we were in both during this trip, rivers and lakes, both of the guides said, oh my gosh, we passed it.
Wow.
And I had not spoken up, and this happened 3 days ago. You know, I just got back. And so I said to the group, because it was a leadership retreat, I said, you know, you guys, I really apologize. I had the instinct when I saw that little side bay, and I didn't say anything, and I should have, because I put our entire team at risk by not speaking up. And so that was a real, like, eye-opener, that this is a continuing issue for me and always will be.
Well, and I, you know, I've struggled with this. So you and I, we've been going back and forth in our communication for over a month about this topic. And I've said so many times on our show, like, our topics come up, and then it's amazing how life then collides with the topic, even if you're not planning or expecting it. And it's so interesting, because 3 days ago, literally the same time frame, I had the exact same experience. And I'm only going to touch on it lightly because it's so raw for me right now. But on our previous episode, we talked a lot about how I've had a puppy that has been sick for 12 years.
Yeah.
And he was a huge part of my heart. And I knew what was coming was coming. And I had made, I had embraced myself as best that you can be. And I carried him to the vet. My purpose was to make him as comfortable as he could be during those last, you know, I didn't know if it was hours or day, but I knew it was really soon. And the vet went into this, like, overdrive mode of like, we can do this and we can do that and we can do this. And I'm not faulting her because that's their oath. That's what they do.
Right.
However, what ended up happening in that moment, my gut said, this is not what needs to happen. Like, I really was like, this is not what needs to happen. What needs to happen is he just needs to be made comfortable. But I got so overwhelmed by her being the expert. She was the doctor. She was the vet. She was smarter than me. She knew better than me. What if she's right and I'm wrong? And so I went with her suggestions, and it ended up causing a lot of unnecessary and really traumatizing experience for him and for me as a result of me not paying attention to my voice.
Let me jump in here because these are both two very similar stories. However, they're very different. I sense on both sides from both of you a little bit of guilt for Jacqueline not speaking up, Tracy not going with your instinct. But you're dealing with other parties. There's other parties involved. Like, for instance, Tracy, you were dealing with a veterinarian. Now, we don't know what kind of, or I don't know what kind of ego this vet may have had. But, you know, to hear a patient say, you know what, I think what's best for this dog is, you know, option A. And then you might be, well, are you a veterinarian? No, I'm the veterinarian. You know, you take that risk of getting that flashback or that kickback from that ego, if there is one there, but it doesn't hurt. Remember, it's your intuition and it's your dog. It's your family member. And then going over to Jacqueline, you had that intuition that you were supposed to take, let's say, a right turn over there. But these guys, it's their job. They should have known, or you could say, you know, they should have known. However, they're human and they can make a mistake. So did you put anybody in risk? Was anybody in risk? Did any emergencies happen? No. And maybe you would have felt guilty, but I don't see anything wrong with speaking up. Hey, is this the turn here? And then you leave it in their hands. Are they going to be jerks about it, saying, you know, hey, who's the leader of this pack here? Is it you or is it us? Because it would be a shot to their ego if one of their, you know, one of the members of the group is telling them where they need to go.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting because, I mean, these both are examples of where you have real authority that you're having to kind of stand up against if you've got an instinct around something. And that's not always going to be that extreme. But I think that the people-pleasing personality, if in that situation, automatically thinks like the authority is always right and just doesn't even count their own instincts as important or valid or that it could be real. And, you know, so for people pleasers, I think, who are trying to find their voice and to find their voice within their business or their art or their relationships, I think it's all the same, is that, I mean, it's you've got to use all of the tools and skills required to experiment with, what do I even think? I mean, sometimes you're such a people pleaser, you don't even know what your instincts are. Like, you can't even hear them.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And so it takes a lot of experimenting to learn what they are until you can get to the point, because standing up to an authority figure is like another level up even. We're like, oh my gosh, you're right. I mean, they're supposed to know everything and we discount ourselves.
Absolutely. So here's the thing that I was thinking too when you were saying that, and I think that's such a valid point. I mean, first of all, yes, these are authority figures, expert status, things like that. They consider themselves the one up, if you will. Maybe it's conscious, maybe it's subconscious, maybe it's ego, maybe it's just professional knowledge. Regardless, the situation is that you're in a situation where sometimes, like, if I hadn't been caught off guard and I hadn't been already hyper emotional about the situation anyway, I may have made a different decision about the people pleasing aspect or standing up for my own voice, because I have been that person that you mentioned where I was such the people pleaser and I had no awareness around it even. It was like, oh, you want me to go right instead of left? Sure, I'll do that. I mean, like, you want me to jump? How high? Okay, I can do that. But as I've moved forward in my life and I have made progress, like I was saying, it's like that whole awareness and then making change and then another opportunity presents itself and you make a change. I think in hearing you say that, for me, what the aha is on that is I don't think I've ever been in a situation where my emotions were so highly charged fighting with my gut instinct, because I did know that I did know when even when she was telling me the alternative option, I knew that's not what I wanted to do. But I think because I was so emotionally looking for a solution that I kind of bought the hope. And that was something that, as a result of that, you know, it was a spiral of consequences. I don't necessarily have, well, I'm lying. I was about to say I don't have guilt around it, but that is absolutely a falsehood. But I'm trying not to, right? And so I think that with, you know, kind of coming back to that whole thing with expertise, and that's just been my story. It's not everybody's story. But for me, I think that's why this resonated so strongly that we were talking about this today, because my story is professionally, I achieved a lot of management experience at a young age. So when I had an instinct that something wasn't right, I deferred because the owners or the people that I was working for, well, of course, they had to be smarter than me. I'm only 27. And, you know, that just wasn't always the case. So
see, now, and that's one thing that I'm learning as I get older is not everybody out there is as smart as their name badge says they are or as they claim to be. And there are certain things in life that where even though you're not the professional in that aspect of that of what's, you know, what you're working on at that time or what you're dealing with at that time, whether it be the veterinarian thing or that expedition, there is a gut instinct involved where sometimes, you know yourself better than anybody. And even if you have a gut instinct and you make a mistake, then you have a learning experience. But what I want to know is, and you already answered it, do you regret it? Do you have guilt for you, Tracy? But for Jacqueline, do you regret not saying anything
about the Boundary Waters trip?
Yes.
Yeah. I regret that I didn't use that moment to prove to myself that I trusted my instincts.
Yes, I so get that.
Because I think that's, you know, a constant wave on a rock eating away at it. I mean,
right.
It is constantly, your opinion doesn't matter. Your instincts don't matter. And that is powerful stuff.
But the one thing is, sorry, Tracy, the one thing, it made such an impact after the fact that you had that regret that it makes it even stronger of a mistake, quote unquote, that you won't make in the future or something that you'll think about. You know, this reminds me of the expedition thing that I got into. Let me think this through. Maybe I should speak up. Maybe I shouldn't people please at this moment like I usually do.
Well, I feel like with Jacqueline, with Jackie, with what you're saying is I can really relate to that whole thing of like every time you do that, a little piece of your soul, a little piece of your inner peace, if you will, it chips away a little bit every time, which can be a motivational factor, which Russ was referring to in terms of it can be a motivational factor to do it differently next time. But at the same time, it's sort of this inner battle, if you will. What I've experienced is, okay, so I wanted to make this decision. I knew that it was the right decision for me. I didn't make it. Consequences occurred. Then I get into this spiral of like negative self-talk, and I know you're an expert in positive self-talk, but that's where this whole cycle can come in. And then you're like, why didn't I do that? And then it's just like this circle of chaos in my brain starts, if you will. And I love that you do, like you actually even created an entire product line out of positive self-talk. And tell us a little bit about that, because I think like, yes, we all have learning curves and we all can take as much as we can take from experiences and learn from them. But really, to me, that negative self-talk versus that positive self-talk is what really gets you through to the other side.
All right, now hold that thought, because now we've got something to look forward to, the product line especially. We're going to take a quick break right now, and we're going to ask Tracy to get off the couch, bring the microphone back to the table. And when we come back, we'll get a couple of Tracy's takeaways. And I always put our guest on the spot, and we're going to get Jackie's takeaways from this show right after this.
Is the only thing keeping you from launching your podcast not knowing how? Let our award-winning team of veteran broadcasters relieve the overwhelm of launching, managing, and growing your show. You create the content and let the experts take the stress out of the rest. Contact us at produceyourpodcast.com for a free 15-minute consultation. Produceyourpodcast.com.
Take your business personally. Journey to There.
Okay, and we're back with Jacqueline Fletcher. Tracy, I'm sure the listeners are going to be flooding us with thank yous for inviting her on the show. It's been a fantastic show. Now, when we left off, we were talking about a product line that Jackie has to offer, or has been offering. Jackie?
Yeah, so this is actually really related to something that Tracy said right before the break about the guilt she was feeling in her experience with her dog. And you can really get sucked into the negative self-talk around that and really start ruminating on it and thinking about it and thinking about it. And there's all sorts of really interesting research around positive inner self-talk, both in the healthcare world and in the, you know, self-development world, that if we talk to ourselves in the third person, then this positive kind of cheerleader inner voice, that it can really help us, you know, feel better. It can help us learn how to do things. It can do all sorts of powerful things. And so I had suffered a creative heartbreak and was working on this big project that we were talking about that fell apart. And so I was hosting and interviewing experts around creative expression and healing for the TV show I do for Mayo Clinic. And I thought, Jackie, you've got to do what you tell other people to do. And so I ended up writing myself a book to feel better called Dear You, Messages from Your Heart. And there are these little letters, and it's just Dear You, which was me in the third person. And there were these letters from my own heart. And so this character emerges called Your Heart that's really compassionate and kind and can't understand why you can't get your stuff together, and it's really funny sometimes. And so I just could not stop writing. So after that first book, I did Dear You, It's Time for a Leap of Faith, Dear You, Messages for Moms. I have I've got two more coming out. And then I wrote another book called Dear Body, Love Me. It was a letter to my own body as someone who'd been morbidly obese and had lost 100 pounds in my 20s and kept it off for 20 years. And so
wow.
I really used this idea of positive inner self-talk to transform myself from the inside out. And I just wanted to share that with other people. So it's a collection of books, and there's journals and greeting cards and prints. And they're in boutiques across the country, and you can get them online. You can find them just by going to my website at jacquelinefletcher.com. And I've had more feedback with this collection than any of the other work I've ever done. I mean, it's very authentic, and it comes from a very deep place, and people are really responding to it.
And I think the whole aspect of this idea of compassion is completely important in terms of recovering or moving forward or just making progress on different levels, no matter what. Like I really love the product. I've seen it. I love it. I mean, I just fell in love with it the minute I saw it. But I also love that you were willing to go out there on different levels. And because I've never met a mom who said, I wish I hadn't done this in a fit of anger, or I've never met somebody who didn't have their heart broken and they were wavering on whether or not they should trust again and start over again. And all of that to me is such a strong representation of being compassionate towards yourself first and allowing yourself time to heal and then regenerating and restarting. And I love also, I just have to say, like your reference at the beginning of the show about having a blank canvas. It's like, yes, we have our spiral staircase. Sometimes we spiral downward, but we also have that blank canvas to then pick ourselves back up and say, I can do it differently next time. So...
Absolutely.
I usually do takeaways, Jackie. Our listeners are very familiar with my Tracy-isms and my takeaways. But today, I have so enjoyed being on the other side of the content, if you will. I really would, if you're comfortable with it, I'd love to ask you to maybe, it's a little bit on the spot, but to maybe turn my takeaway spot over to you and just allow us a little bit more of your wisdom and your heartfelt directions, because I personally am just like getting so much out of it. So,
Thank you. So I guess, you know, if I were to boil it down to three things that are really kind of actionable things for people, the first one is, I love the word experiment. And so because it kind of frees us up, you know, we don't take ourselves quite so seriously. And I would want people to experiment with what gives them pleasure. Because I think that those pleasurable experiences are what can help guide you around what makes you feel good, and that can guide you toward those inner impulses and those inner instincts that we get, to come at them through pleasure. And there's all sorts of really terribly sad research that a lot of us don't even know what gives us pleasure.
Right.
So experimentation is a really, I love to experiment because it just releases us from the grip of being far too serious and perfectionism. I think the second really important thing about people pleasers, recovering people pleasers, lifelong people pleasers, is to experiment with sitting with discomfort around disappointing someone else. This is,
I love that.
Tracy, can you handle that?
Jackie, you probably may or may not have noticed, but I have to sit on this bouncy chair because I cannot even sit with myself in the studio. So
this is incredibly hard to do.
And
oh,
especially when your instinctual moment is to just say, oh, that makes you feel better? Let's do it. You know, so.
Right.
That'll be a challenge for Tracy. But
I think
you can do it.
I can. I'm with you. But don't you think, Jackie, that really is the core of the people-pleasing solution is, like, just don't react. Like, hit that pause button. Sit with it for a minute. And just, like, once you do it for, like, 30 seconds, then you can do it for 45 seconds. Then you can do it for a minute. And then you can work up, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Because, I mean, that brings up that sometimes we have injured instincts around, you know, what is the right thing to do? And if you're a people pleaser and you disappoint someone else, your inner voice is going to be telling you, like, fix this, fix this, fix this. and so that's why, you know, if you experiment with just sitting and pausing and taking a deep breath in the moment so you don't just do your normal pattern, then you can kind of scooch out of it a little bit.
Mm.
And test yourself and then test yourself again. So every time it gets a little bit easier. So,
exactly.
Wow. Well, I could just talk to you all day, but I know Russ is about to cut us off. I just feel like we're like hanging out in a coffee shop and I want to be like, but what about this?
The funny thing,
and
the listeners, I'm sure, feel the same way. They're all, you know, hundreds, thousands of listeners are sitting in that same coffee shop, and it's just been a great time, a great experience. A very special thanks to Jackie. JacquelineFletcher.com. That's where you can find all of the information. Jackie, thank you so much for joining us on the Journey to Their radio show today. Along with Tracy DeForge, I'm Russ Reba. We thank you for hanging out with us today at the intersection between personal and business growth. And boy, was this an example today. Catch us online at journeytothere.com. If you like this episode, we can't wait to hang out with you for the next one.
Yes, and Jackie, thank you so much. I look forward to seeing you and speaking with you again very soon. And I am in need of one of those books, so I'm about to go get one right now.
Well, and thank you to you both. This was just an absolute pleasure.
We hope you've enjoyed today's journey, and we invite you to visit journeytothere.com to download full episodes, find show notes, and connect with us by signing up for our newsletter. We want to hear from you. Give us feedback or ask any questions by clicking or tapping Contact Us. That's journeytothere.com.